Praise the Lord, everyone. Good to see you all. Another Lord's Day the Lord has given us. Before we look into the Word, how about we just spend a couple of minutes in prayer and then we will turn to His precious Word. Loving Father, Lord, we thank You for giving us this opportunity to be gathered in Your sweet presence again this morning. Thank You, Lord, for Lord again opening up Your magnificent Word for us. Lord, yes, opening our spiritual eyes as well. Lord, we were far away from You. Lord Jesus, we still at many times don't comprehend what You want us to do and how You want us to do. And we are full of ourselves many times. But Lord Jesus, this morning, as we look into Thy Word, Thy precious Word, we pray that we will be able to see a glimpse of You, a glimpse of what You want us to do, and a glimpse of where we are going, Lord Jesus. This is that eternity that we will spend with You, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we pray at this time that You will keep every act of distraction away. Lord Jesus, we only have a short time, but even in this short time, Lord Jesus, we pray that all attention will be to Your precious Word, and we will be able to apply this myself, unworthy servant. Lord, we'll be able to apply it to my own life, Lord. So Lord, we thank You once again for being our King, dying for us, and giving us another beautiful morning to come into Thy presence, Lord. We ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So brothers and sisters, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at a man who interrupted God. He was having a very significant question to the Lord, but this was, you know, completely out of context with what he asked. So if you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, I would highly recommend to read with me these three verses. Even though we are in mute, if you can, and if you're able, you know, turn with me to this and read with me. So I'm reading the first verse, which is verse 13. It says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" I hope you're all reading and reading it aloud, because that has its own merit. And if you're not, then read verse 14 with me. "But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?'" Important question. And verse 15, read again loudly. "And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.'" You know, quite simple and quite striking to the question that he was asked and the answer that was given. We know the question, hopefully. You've got it. You know, it's this, it says, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So Jesus was preaching to his disciples. And when we say disciples, this is not just the 12, this we're talking of the disciples who've been following him to hear him. And there was quite a bit of people who were following, right? So if you turn with me to the beginning of the chapter, I'm going to read a few verses because that's going to set the scene. You know, what is the context of what was going on here? And what was going on here was, you know, Jesus is going from one place to another place. And in 12, it says that in the meantime, when innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they had trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, so innumerable amount of people and they were trampling, you know, it's almost like a stampede is happening in this place. That many amount of people. And he's telling them this one little thing, which is repeated twice in this chapter. And the first, pay attention to this verse, which says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." He starts off with this profound verse which says, "Beware of the leaven of Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. This is the Jews, or the ones, the scribes and the Pharisees, who were not able to comprehend what Jesus was teaching back in the day, and Jesus is telling, beware of these religious people who are not able to comprehend, and it is full of hypocrisy. So Jesus, you know, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you just look at some key verses, that will give you a bit of a picture, a very high-level picture, though, of what's going on. In verse 3, he's speaking about, you know, therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in the inner rooms will be proclaimed in the household. He's talking about important things in verse 5. He's telling, fear him, who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. So basically, he's talking about extremely important spiritual things of heaven and hell. He's telling, fear the one who is able to be cast into hell. He's telling not to fear men. You know, he's telling, you know, men can only kill the body. Then he's talking about the value of these people who have gathered. He's quoting an example of sparrows who have been sold for 2 copper coins. And he says that, you know, even that is valuable for God. And then are you not more valuable than many sparrows? Then he says about this thing that if you confess, again in verse 8 says, also I will confess before men. So whoever confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. And whoever denies, obviously the retribution is, you know, given there. And then again about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Now, and then 11 is talking about, do not worry of what you should answer, especially when you are in the midst of all of these synagogues and, you know, magistrates and many people and authorities, especially. He's talking spiritual stuff to this multitudes of people who have gathered. And the first beware he used in that verse, saying that beware of hypocrisy of these religious people who, you know, have all of these things that is, you know, being taught by God, but are not able to follow it themselves. And then he keeps going and he's saying, for the Holy Spirit will teach you. So quite important, as you can see. And then he comes to this little question that came out of nowhere. And that question is this, you know, the first thing that we can pay attention to this is, you know, there is somebody from the crowd who is just asking, is very eager to ask Jesus a question. What kind of question is this? You know, if you read that verse, it says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Is that a question at all? I don't think that's a question. He's calling, you know, teacher or rabbi or, you know, it's a civil issue. He's having some, you know, you can sense that his, you know, he's having some issues over the real estate or inheritance with his own family. And when Jesus is talking about the spiritual things, this man comes out of the blue, unnamed, very sad, because Jesus does not answer his question, but gives him all what is needed for him to get back to track. But there is no mention in the supporting verses anything that this man applied. You know, his spiritual eyes were not open even after this little back and forth. Now, where was his eyes focused on? What was he telling? You know, he's telling, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So he's not asking a question. He's telling Jesus what to do here. He's telling Jesus, I don't know if his brother is in the crowd or is he pointing towards his brother, or he's just all in his little world, and he's telling, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. You know, what does Jesus say to him? Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Quite an interesting response, isn't it? If you look at that, Jesus does not get involved in the matter that was asked. You know, he is a judge of this earth. He can, you know, get involved. But, you know, he says many times, his kingdom is not of this world. And this was, you know, a worldly issue that was affecting this man's heart. Jesus, the beginning of the chapter and continuing all through this chapter, is speaking through a spiritual matter. He's talking about, you know, focus on the ones who is not only able to kill the body, but he's able to kill your soul too. He's talking about fear God. He's talking about this, you know, what is of more value. God is giving immense value to your soul. He's telling about Holy Spirit. But none of these things makes any sense to this man. He's asking a question, and Jesus does not respond to this person's question, but tells him and gives him this answer in verse 15 that we read, take heed and beware, a second beware. So he basically is putting together another beware. Firstly, you know, the beware that we read was before was beware of religious hypocrisy of these Pharisees. This is another beware that has been put, another sin that Jesus is calling out. And what was his problem? Covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Did he do what this man was asking Jesus? Did he get involved in this economic issue or whatever was the issue that was facing this man? He just plainly cut to the chase, went straight to the matter, and said, beware of covetousness. So what is covetousness? You know, we can you know, define it in many ways. If you think about covetousness, it is closely associated to greed. If you think about covetousness, it can, you know, it can tell us of a eagerness to possess something, an excessive desire to have something. And these things can creep in to any of us in this call. This was a problem to this man. And that's why he was in the pursuit of material. Jesus was talking in an eternal plane. Jesus was giving him the opportunity to open his spiritual eyes. This man was focused on the material. And that is something that is remarkable, because Jesus then had to go ahead and use a parable or an anecdote to explain to the rest of us who would read this forever and be warned by the issues that was facing this man can also creep us all, myself included, and anyone who doesn't understand what the problem was. So what was the problem? Then he speaks a parable to them. And what does he speak? Pay attention if you can. If one of us, if you can read, take yourself off mute and read for me from 16 to 21. What is the parable from verse 16 to 21? Just take yourself off mute if you are reading, and as loud as you can.
Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and threw within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God.
Thank you, Brother Nagaraja. You see, here is a parable, You know, sometimes this has been referred to as the parable of the rich fool. I think we can actually call this as, are you rich towards God? As maybe a title, as something that we can all take today as we try and finish another Lord's Day and start a brand new week. The question here, there is a man, a real man, who came and asked a question. What was his problem? Many problems he had. You know, we will shortly analyze, you know, in itself, you know, he had a worldly problem. His problem, he thought Jesus could solve. When Jesus was saying something of eternal life, he put this problem, whatever the problem was of the inheritance from his brother, he put it towards God. God does not answer the question in the way or, you know, suggest any sort of response to that. He says very clearly, well, am I a judge and arbitrator over your matters? And then he calls and asks him and tells him, beware. He uses this word, take heed, beware. And then he quotes this parable. So what is this parable? The parable itself is quite remarkable because it brings us back to, you know, he quotes it very clearly, a ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. Now, there is nothing wrong in that. Up until that point, there was a rich man. He had a ground. He probably must have, a lot of the people in the crowd would have been able to relate to that because, you know, back in the day, there was not a lot of professions, but, you know, this could have been a very important profession, farming. But he's telling so that people can relate to this. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. Nothing wrong in itself. Now, this is where the problem starts to arise in this parable, which says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops. So he said, up until that point, it's a genuine problem. He's got an abundance of crops in his ground. It's yielded plentifully. He's asking a question, a reasonable question. What shall I do? I have no room to store all of my crops. But the problem in this parable is that this man continues further to sort out the problem. And how does he sort it out? You see verse 18, he says, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have made many goods laid up for me many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I hope you can hear and see through your spiritual eyes what the problem was. He asked a question. He had a problem. In this parable, this man starts to take things in his own hands. The man's attitude is worth to be studied for the next couple of minutes, just to look at the problems. Look at the amount of eyes that he has in this. He does not ask God of what needs to be done. He does not think anything other than himself. You see how many eyes, if you notice, verse, I can very clearly see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 eyes, full of eyes, full of himself. And, you know, he goes to an extreme end of no return. And verse 19, what does he say? Look into that. It's very important. I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Take your ease. Many years now I am sorted. An abundance of wealth has landed up in this man's, in the parable, in his land. He has now got into the realm of greed. Jesus is giving a spiritual lesson to all those multitudes, including that man who came and asked that question about his brother. It's very sad. There is nothing said of that man again. There is nothing said that he got healed or his eyes were opened. Nothing. But you know, I will draw some of these things as the effect of a fallen man. We live in a world which is full of materials. We're sitting, you know, we can't physically see each other. You know, we have lots of distractions. Even within the 15, 20 minutes, it's very hard to put our head into deep into the scripture. This Jesus was talking something spiritual. And this man was ignoring all of that, and he was bringing something that didn't matter to Jesus. And Jesus puts this parable to reveal the attitude and help us, help me, to look at a few of these things that we can also take to heart. So fundamentally, what he was doing, he was, you know, he was running after material things. It is not bad in itself to be successful. He would have worked hard, I'm sure. But, you know, in farming, there are many external things that he is dependent on. You know, I'm sure he would have tilled the ground. I'm sure he would have got the best seeds. But, you know, he would have had to depend on the Lord or on water for the right rain. He would have had to depend on many other things that was beyond his control to have an abundant crop like this. And when he had an excess, he forgot the source of the provision of these excess. And in this parable, he starts to say, what am I going to do? Yes, building the bigger barn makes sense, but he never thought about anybody else. He never thought about the matters of God. He does not think about it at all. He just ignores all of that. So few thoughts to just think about. The problem of this greedy man, the first thing he ignored was, in this parable, he ignored the lordship of Christ over everything. He did not recognize that the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains in this world and all those people who dwell in it. If someone can read for me, Psalms 24. Turn with me to Psalms 24. And verse 1 and 2, if someone can read for me those two verses. Take yourself off mute.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods.
Thank you, Sandeep. Quite important. He ignored the earth is the Lord. This world, everything that God has given to us to use it, but still he is the rightful owner. You know, if you ask this man, how did you get all of this wealth? What would he have said? Just think. This man in the parable, I'm not asking us the question. I'm saying this man is the point of the parable. He would have said, I've got it all by hard work. I did this, you know, there was a little bit of weather, you know, I had good luck, you know, and, you know, he would have said, you know, I used exactly the timing of putting the right seeds. I did this and I did that and I and an I and an I, he would have continued to say, you know, God is telling us, no matter what we get through this parable, this man was not self-sufficient. He was dependent on God. His confidence in his barns full of produce did not lead him to this question, Lord, what shall I do? What does he declare proudly? This is what I am going to do. This is what I will do. What does he say? I will do this. I will pull down my barn and I will start a small real estate project to build a greater one. And I will store all my crops in it. And then you know what I'll do? I will take it easy. This is what the world teaches us. To sit back, relax, take it at ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. That word merry has a lot of celebration style words to it. So the first point of this greed of this man in this parable, this rich fool, was he forgot to acknowledge the lordship of Christ over everything. Then you see this man in the parable, and also the other man who is asking, had some relationship issues over this riches, because he does not seem to think that maybe this abundance, I can use it for others. It does not have any priority come up here at all in any sort of relationship. This money issue, this material, was making him feel elevated, and that elevation was leading him to ask this question in the other man, the real man, how do I settle this family estate issue? This is more important to me. We have an issue here. So what was he ignoring? He was ignoring a relationship to the others around him. This greed of this man was becoming a big problem. It ignored the priority of the relationship. You know, I don't know how this brother would have felt, the real brother. We don't know who is wrong here. We don't know if this is a legitimate issue. We don't know if he deserved to get this estate. We don't know if he would have earned this field by some crime or some corruption or something. Nothing is told here, because that is not the point. What the point here was, he was failing to recognize what was more important. That was the second thing. The third thing that we can learn probably is this man in the parable was ignoring the shortness of the life. He was ignoring, when he was making plans, this is what I'm going to do, he was ignoring the shortness of life. And this is where Jesus had to step in and make this big, bold declaration within the parable. And I will say to my soul, he says this and this and this. Then, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Quite significant question. A very wealthy man, but he is forgetting the key essence of life. Life can be very short. You are talking material things. I am putting in front of you the fact of eternity. You have to make a choice now of this matter of eternity. And thank God for many of us who have made this choice. When the time is there, even after we have made a choice, as we move on from one thing to another thing in a Christian walk, I think every morning and every night when we go to sleep, we can ask this question. Who knows if God will give us another day or not? I think that is a very appropriate teaching for us as well. The shortness of life. Once this life is finished, we are going to get into eternity. And those who have not got there, the question is being asked. That is the most important thing. Instead of denying himself, he is found aggressively affirming himself. He is found to be telling that I will tell this, I will do this, and I'm going to do that, and this is what's going to happen. And God is telling you, you fool, are you ignoring the shortness of life? So what is a few things that we can take? This man was getting happy over an investment that had worked well. Ignoring the future or the futility of this material thing. God puts a principle here in 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself. What does that mean? So is he who lays up treasure for himself. That means it's not wrong to have treasure, but it's wrong to have it for himself. It's not just about material. This could be non-financial as well. Whatever is the capability given to you, it is wrong to keep it for yourself. Because from that starts the non-recognition of the spiritual. Anything we want to keep to ourselves, whatever that is, that will end up in this bucket. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Richness towards God means denying something very important. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. I will read it out loud. Turn with me. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. We know this verse very nicely. We all cannot get out of this. There is a very important thing in verse 19. It says, you know, this is the parable of the soils. This is, you know, the seed being sown in different places. And I'm not going to get into all of that. But verse 18 says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So my key thing to pick up from this reading is not what happened to the seed and, you know, what kind of men, it's this deceitfulness of richness. Richness is with the more material things that we have. Now, that's what we understand as more humans. The more we have in any sort of things, when we, you know, when we look at things, when we go through something, it is the material. It's the material. And we all have this deep in our heart. I wish this could have been there with me. I wish I had that. But here God says, deceitfulness of richness. You know, when Paul was writing to Timothy towards the end of his life, you know, amongst all very important things, many, many important things in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he's telling to Timothy, turn with me and we'll finish there. And then we can take our application from this. Where would we invest our life? Are we going to put the deposit in the bank? Are we going to deposit our skills for ourselves? Or are we going to deposit this the way Paul is reminding Timothy? This is the instructions for our eternal life. This is the instructions for the richness towards God. Now, this is what it says. I'm going to read it out. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Obviously, haughty means, you know, arrogantly being, having this big, proud superiority feeling over anything, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Previously, we read in Mark 4 that riches is deceitful. Here, it's uncertain, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So if God has given us things, it is not a bad thing. There were many rich men in the Bible who followed the Lord. You know, we know Abraham. We know Joseph. We know Joseph of Arimathea. We know many people. But they did not keep it for themselves. They were rich towards God. They knew it was not for themselves. They were not having construction projects to build their own barns. They were not like this one in the parable who failed to recognize that Christ is the Lord over everything. They did not fail to recognize the need and the priority over what was required in a relationship. They did not failed to recognize the shortness of life. David, you know, when he writes all of these beautiful psalms, he knew where he was coming from and what he was doing. So in itself, verse 18 is a magnificent application to us. It says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give. I'm going to stop here for a second, because this is the natural byproduct of Christ opening up our spiritual eyes. Be ready to give. I'm not talking about giving to the church 10% tithe or anything. I am talking much above and beyond. And Lord is even talking through the Holy Spirit. This is a big living sacrifice, giving time, finance, non-finance, focusing on the right areas. This applies to the young ones. It applies to the old ones. It applies to the ones who are like me or anyone. It applies to all of us. Let them do good, that they will be rich in good works, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, that is what we can apply. Coming back to this, who is he who lays up the treasure for himself and is not rich towards God? God is asking us not to do things independent of him. He's asking us to deny ourselves in all what we do. He's asking us to find happiness in giving. He's asking us to not make the goal of our life to enjoy life. There is no harm in planning for these things. You certainly need to plan. And there are many scriptures that support that. But this foolish rich man was thinking about, you know what? Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, it's time to take rest over anything, so that his focus would have been for himself. He was not looking towards God. You know, we know Job was having a similar test put in front of him, and he passed the test significantly. And the question as we finish off is, if a test is put in our lives, have we invested correctly? If not, now is the time to deposit it with Jesus Christ, not with the biggest banks which give us the biggest interest, or not in the barns that will secure our next 3 years or 10 years or 100 years. Jesus is asking to spend our life for his kingdom. He's telling us to put our deposits into the bank of heaven. He's telling us to identify our own barns. Is there a barn in our life? Is there a barn in my life? I want to ask myself, what is my barn? What is it that I'm holding to myself? Is it the time? Is it something that is more important to me? We can ask each one of us as we finish. And we can hopefully pray and thank God that our eyes are open, that none of these things should matter to us. It's the choice that we are going to make. It's a choice how to invest our time, how to invest our resources. Which relationships will you invest in? Which are the things that we will now say that this is a small thing? You know, does it really matter? It doesn't. And that is what God has reminded to this rich man, and also to the real man who is unnamed. He could not take heed. He could not be beware of this, because there is nothing further told about this. But I thank God for each one of us, that when our spiritual eyes were opened, God gave us this opportunity to identify that it is he. And that is what we've been hearing through the last few testimonies that we heard, that Christ is all. Even this morning we heard that Christ is all. But we want to progress from that to many more areas in our life where we want to identify the barn and tell the Lord, what should I do with this barn? Because it seems like it is hoarding it towards my own needs. So let us finish with that. Loving Father, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for reminding us from this Luke chapter 12 of this rich fool who was not rich towards God. And this man who came out of the nowhere and asked a question which did not lead him to think of the eternal life. What a sad state that man. God was preaching about to fear him. You were preaching about the value of life. You were telling that tonight this would be taken. But yet this man could not come to be born again. This man's spiritual eyes could not be opened. So Lord, we thank you. Lord, not that we did anything good to open our spiritual eyes. Lord, it is you and your cross that opened our spiritual eyes. That is quite significantly important to me and to each one of us this morning as we are reminded from this, to walk now in faith as Timothy was reminded, to give, to share, to invest in the right things, in the kingdom of God. Lord, that's my desire, that we also want to do this going ahead, to invest into the life that you have given us, into eternal matters, much more than the temporary material things that is all around us. Lord, we ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.